Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts, and once again, apologies, I did begin with best intentions and have elapsed a few more days again as well. But, you know, I need to try and be persistent, and if I just give up, then it will fall to the wayside, and it truly does improve my study doing this podcast. So, here we are with Season 6, Episode 37 of this Come Follow Me daily podcast, and it will aim to be daily here on out. We are now looking in next week's Come Follow Me study, or the week that we're in now, which is looking at Helaman chapters 7 to 11, studying in the week, or sorry, to 12, studying the week of September the 2nd to September the 8th. And if you're listening in the UK, happy back to school, everyone. If you're listening elsewhere, you've probably been back a week or so, but we are now back into the swing of routine, and hopefully that will help with my study, actually. So I'm going to try and go through Helaman chapters 7 to 8 today, or at least most of it, because a lot of the study we focus on is in the later sections of this, or the later chapters of this section. But we have got here Nephi, the son of Helaman, returning from to Zarahemla from the land northward. So he's gone away, he's done some teaching, and he is disappointed by the people's reaction to his word. He says in verse 3, and he's disappointed from the reaction he received from the people in the land northward. They did reject all his words, insomuch that he could not stay among them, but returned again unto the land of his nativity. But he sees the Gadianton robbers in place, and he sees the difficulties and the hardships that the people are going through, and he is disappointed. In fact, disappointed probably doesn't do it justice. In verse 6 it says, "Now this great iniquity had come upon the Nephites in the space of not many years. And when Nephi saw it, his heart was swollen with sorrow within his breast. And he did exclaim in the agony of his soul, Oh, that I could have had my days in the days of when my father Nephi first came out of the land of Jerusalem, that I could have joyed with him in the promised land, that then were his people easy to be entreated, firm to keep the commandments of God, and slow to be led to do iniquity, and they were quick to hearken unto the words of the Lord." Now, we find here that Nephi is stating these feelings, and some might suggest that he's, he is ungrateful, perhaps, or he is not content with the lot that's been placed upon him. But I don't think that that is what's happening here. I think that what's happening to Nephi is this understandable reaction of disappointment and sorrow for his brethren, because he sees the wicked path that they're going down, and he is sorrowful for the wickedness and the sorrow that it's going to bring them, as compared to the people of Nephi who were with Nephi originally, who were happy and keeping the commandments and were in a blessed state. Now Nephi is stating these things and pouring his soul out to the Lord in his garden upon a tower. I don't know why he has a tower in the garden. Perhaps it was a regular thing at this time where people were able to look out over kind of their land and their possessions to keep an eye on things, to make sure that they were safe. But we know that it is by a walkway to the city. And in verse 11 it says, "And it came to pass that there were certain men passing by and saw Nephi as he was pouring out his soul unto God upon the tower. And they ran and told the people what they had seen. And the people came together in multitudes that they might know the cause of so great mourning for the wickedness of the people." It's interesting that this happens. John L. Sorensen explains a bit about the culture and historicity of these towers. It says, quote, "Nephi had a garden near the highway that led to the chief market. Such ideas have seemed incompatible with what is known about ancient American life. Recent discoveries about Mesoamerican urban settlements, however, have now made these features seem highly reasonable. The tower might easily refer to pyramidal mounts, some built and used by families and lineage leaders for religious ceremonies, and which were referred to by the Spanish conquerors as towers," close quote. So there's definite links here and things to back up Nephi having a tower here in his garden. And this is also perhaps why the people gathered, because as Sorensen mentions, these were often used for religious ceremonies, religious ceremonies, basically. You think of King Benjamin building this makeshift big tower with the people. It's something that we've seen before. But in this case, the people gather, so they obviously recognize that Nephi is here and he's on this tower, so there must be something he's about to say, which then explains why people have just gathered round to Nephi's garden to see why this man is praying in his garden. Suddenly makes it a lot less odd that this multitude gathers. And then makes it even more understandable in verse 13 when Nephi responds when he sees them, "Behold, why have ye gathered yourselves together, that I might tell you of your iniquities? Yea, because I have got upon my tower, that I might pour out my soul unto my God, because of the exceeding sorrow of my heart, which is because of your iniquities." So Nephi realizes they're there, and because of the context that we now know about these towers, is saying, "Well, I mean, you've now come here. Are you expecting me to tell you about all your iniquities and wickedness? Because that's, of course, what kind of thing you might do on these towers if they're religious ceremonies." We're going to leave that there, but this kind of sets us up for what takes place in these next chapters and the astonishing miracles that take place with Nephi. Thank you so much for listening, and until we meet again.